Mariners might be pretty good if they were healthy.
That whole division is pathetic.
Pathetic, huh?
And now the Mariners get some more bad news. I believe. Guillen out for the year, possibly, with an injury. So
not good.
Things just continue. I just don't know. I just don't see how Griffey stays there with all the BS that's going on there.
On the upside, their new ballpark's opening this summer.
Golf clap? Golf clap.
By the way, I think you owe one of those to Mr. Olafable, too.
Yes. Mr. Olafable, I commend you.
And a little golf clap on his fine morning. The 1999 wearer of the green jacket.
Mr. Consistency the whole weekend long, and that was one hell of a final round. I mean, it was only a 71. He was one under. But oh my, what a consistent round from the sixth hole on. Puts the ball in play, plays the course smart. That's what you have to do. And I did think Norman was going to come when he made that eagle. And
oh,
even
that
though, Olafable answered with the birdie, I still thought that Norman was going to win the tournament. But when he shanked that tee shot on 14 into the woods, I thought it's just not meant to be. It's just not meant for Greg Norman to win that tournament.
I had a feeling he was going to win going into the day, and really saw it as kind of like this is going to be the big story, and you know he finally gets over the hump and wins it after the collapse a couple years ago, and how many times he came close. And when he, like you said, when he hit the eagle, I thought, you know what, he's going to win it. Then Olafable answered, and I went, you know what, no, he's not. If Olafable can match just like that. I saw Olafable pulling it out down the stretch in the last five holes, and that's what he did to take the 1999 Masters. So that's one major down, three majors still to go. And one of my predictions last December was that Tiger would win one of the majors this year.
Not.
I think
it's just not going to happen.
He will win. I stand by that. He will win one of the majors.
What impresses me about Norman this weekend is
probably the U.S. Open.
What impresses me about Norman this past weekend at the Masters was the fact that he had shoulder surgery right after the Masters, I believe it was, last year, and he was out of commission for about, what was it, 7-8 months? He went, and he's still going through rehab on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. So here he is, probably only golfing 4 or 5 months at the most after shoulder surgery, and here he was in contention the whole weekend long. And that's impressive to me. When you can come back after that much of a layoff and challenge for the Masters again, and you know, maybe just to light the fire underneath his butt again. Maybe sooner or later he has to win a major on U.S. soil. I don't know if it's ever going to happen, but maybe this will spark his competitive juices again.
Or send him into a tailspin, one or the other.
Could be.
9:15 the time at 1320 Sports. There'll be a TKZ. Alan.
No, he didn't play poorly. He didn't choke. Just Jose Maria Thobel, he outplayed most everybody yesterday. He did the things he needed to do. And you know, he took a lot of time before he actually made that swing. He was going to make sure that every swing he took, every shot that he took, was going to be accurate. And he didn't want to just get up and hit the ball. And now, you know, he placed the ball well yesterday. He strategically placed it where he wanted to place it yesterday. And that was impressive to me. The fact that every shot, he was dead on with his irons yesterday. And like we said, if you want to win at Augusta, you have to rule the back nine. He was 10 under on the back nine the whole weekend, the whole tournament. The closest one to him on the back nine was Norman, or I think it was Love maybe. They were 4 under on the back nine. So he did the job on the back nine. Not a lot of people played the front nine under par this week, which was kind of shocking to me, because they say that Amen Corner is a couple of the hardest holes anywhere on a PGA Tour, and on the back nine, Olafable dominated, so that's how he won a tournament.
And you think back, you know, I said, you know, we haven't had a winner yet this morning, and you know, we like to give stuff away. We're in a pretty good mood.
Wussies? Come on. What's the matter with you people? What, are you afraid? What, are you afraid you're gonna lose? Somebody's gotta lose, and it ain't gonna be me. You know,
Just about 9:44, 1320 Sports, WTKZ Allentown. As the 1320 Sports Morning Show continues here. Final hour of the program on a Bridge of Death Thursday, April the 15th, 1999. Tom Fallon here. Ryan Neff sitting in with me one more time today. 720-1320, the number to call to talk with us. And not surprisingly to us, somebody else on the line wanted to chat with us now.
Buddy Steve is on the line.
Steve,
good morning.
Morning. Well, you know what? I have something special for you. So since you called me to count the other day, I want to tell you, 1, 2, 3 terrible Philly pitches. They stink. I tell you what, the Mets are going to be about 30 games ahead of them at the end of the season.
Well, the way they're playing right now, they will be. The Mets are stepping up to the challenge early on in the season.
They really are. And if Ricky Henderson could continue to walk 2 or 3 times a game like he's been doing, it's going to be unbelievable.
Well, that's the best part. I mean, the people, he still has the speed and the daring.
I just think Ricky Williams is going to go in the top 3 somewhere. I honestly do. He never really was extremely fast in college either. Most of his yards came on bouncing off tacklers, using his power, and then breaking away, and then using some of his speed. He never was a breakaway type runner. I don't think he did anything to damage his draft status.
No, he didn't. I don't think he damaged it. I just don't think he set the world on fire enough to go from everybody looking quarterback to, oh my God, if we pass on this guy, we're a moron. Compared to the workouts, he's looked like every other back. I mean, the best thing going for him right now is looking at what he did in college. But again, that's in college. How many backs do you see that are great college running backs, and in the NFL,
I like the quotes of Andy Reid from the Philadelphia Eagles, and he said the number one thing was that he dropped the weight. That's always a concern. Somebody's up 20 pounds from a normal playing weight. You've just got to come and see. We understood that he had been on the banquet circuit, but he lost it and he looked sharp. That showed me a little something. So I just still think that the Eagles are going to take him. I think Tim Couch is bait. I think people are using Tim Couch as bait. I don't think a lot of teams like the way he throws the ball. I think a lot of teams think he doesn't have great arm strength. He's a good enough quarterback.
Even if you're right, I don't think he's going in the top 3, in the top 2 now anyway. I think Akili Smith goes number 1 to Cleveland, and I think...
I'm not with him.
I know how the Boston Bruins must be kicking themselves in the ass this morning for losing to one of the most pathetic hockey teams in the NHL, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Not only losing, but they got shut out.
Yeah.
The Redskins and Cardinals are still going to...
I don't think you guys should be talking about division. You, maybe. You can talk about
And all the listeners can tell who you're pointing to, Ryan.
Yeah, you. The AFC West. Well, not even the AFC West. That stinks, too.
Oh, yeah, Denver's
Seattle
a really...
stinks.
Denver,
okay,
fried.
Denver. Kansas City stinks. Seattle stinks. San Diego stinks. And Oakland, yeah, there's a good team. Let's start off 8-2 and then finish the season 8-8.
I hate the Raiders. They're not going to get... You know, if you ever paid attention to me, you'd know what will set me off. The Raiders, I hate.
Davis should just go away.
Al Davis,
please,
should do more than that.
Go away, you jabroni.
There we go.
Do you smell what the Rock is cooking?
I'll use that for the traffic music while you're doing it now. 9:39 the time.
I can only sum up Buffalo in one word, and that's Hasek. You name me one other person on the Buffalo Sabres.
Satan.
Man.
You know him as Satan.
Satan. They disbanded that team so much in the last couple of years that if they would have kept those pieces in place, especially with Hasek in goal, they'd probably be a dominant hockey team. But you give up people like McGillney and Audette, those types of players... Who knows what Buffalo could be like right now? And New Jersey, boneheads that they are. Ottawa lost to, I believe it was the...
Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers last night.
2-0.
New Jersey pulls an idiotic move.
Gets beat by the Islanders. 4-2.
They could have tied Ottawa for the top spot. But they go on the... Oh, that funny, wacky NHL. You never know what's going to happen. And who would have thought both of them would have lost in it? To the two teams that they lost yesterday. That's pathetic. That's so sad.
Well, at least Tampa Bay wasn't in the mix. That would have been even worse. But anyhow...
1420 Sports WTKZ, Glenn Miller ARCA Series driver, once again racing to the box live here from the penalty box. And oh my, do we have a lot of things to talk about this week. Not only the Pepsi 400 last week, which we'll briefly get into, because oh my, if anybody watched the Goody's Headache Powder 500 yesterday, there is a lot of controversy that goes along with that race yesterday. It was one of the most exciting in Bristol history. It ranks right up there, probably in the top five. This might even be the most spectacular race of them all. Going back to last week, though, Bobby Labonte goes out and he wins the Pepsi 400 last week. Unfortunately, right now, I don't have the final results from last week. My esteemed colleague and producer, Brent Big Papa Pub Herzog, will get on that for us, and as soon as we get that, we'll make that available to you, and we'll run down the 43 cars that finished last week. But Bobby Labonte went out and won last week. It was a caution-marred race last week. A lot different than the race was in June. Last week he had the 24 car led for a while. Mark Martin led for a while. Ward Burton jumped out in front. He had a strong car, but we all know what happened to Ward Burton last week. He admitted it was his fault. He got into the turn well, but then he tried to accelerate out of it too fast, and he got ass backward, and he fishtailed it, and he messed up the Caterpillar Pontiac, and it was unfortunate for him because he could have had a great finish last week. Ward Burton, like we said, he seems to run into trouble all the time. But Bobby Labonte did come home with the victory last week. Dale Jarrett finished fourth last week. It seemed like Dale Jarrett was going to be fine, cruise to a Winston Cup championship, but now everything has changed. Until we get the final 43 from last week, we'll kind of set the Pepsi 400 aside for now. But the big news of the day, Dale Earnhardt wins in a controversial finish yesterday. He comes home first yesterday. Jimmy Spencer second, Ricky Rudd third, Jeff, number 24 car fourth, Tony Stewart fifth, Mark Martin sixth, Sterling Marlin seventh, Terry Labonte eighth, Ward Burton ninth, and Ken Schrader tenth. Anybody who saw it yesterday, caution comes out because Bobby Labonte's car lost its transmission, so it was smoking very badly. They were going to take the caution flag, and Terry Labonte came into turns 3 and 4. He slowed down. Darrell Waltrip, I don't think, expected him to slow down. Everyone saw Darrell Waltrip tap Labonte in the back. He spun him out. Earnhardt took over the lead, took the caution flag. Earnhardt stayed out. Terry Labonte and Ricky Rudd came in and took on four tires, and they came out, I believe it was fifth and sixth, and with about four or five laps to go, they went back to green flag racing, and then Terry Labonte and Ricky Rudd take off. It was about a lap and a half left. Terry Labonte caught Dale Earnhardt. They went about another half a lap with about one lap left. Terry Labonte made the move into turn one. Off of turn one, Terry Labonte got the position. He came up. He bumped Dale Earnhardt to get by him. Terry Labonte went into the lead briefly. He went down into turns three. And that's where the controversy arose. It looked like Terry... From a lot of vantage points, either Earnhardt came up right into the back of him and tapped him, or Terry Labonte slowed down, and Earnhardt didn't expect him to slow down. Earnhardt tapped him, but there's a lot of controversy toward the end of the race. There's a lot of people who say, Rubin's racing, that's the way it is, and there's a lot of people say, that's BS. Jerry Nadeau ran into the back of Dale Jarrett earlier on the race, and he got a three-lap penalty. So, Glenn, what do you think? I know what my perspective is on the race, and I think I know what your perspective is going to be.
Well, Bristol's one of those tracks where you're going to have some bumping and pushing, and accidents happen. But I don't mean to offend any Earnhardt fans out there, but I saw the end of that race, and there was no question in my mind. I don't believe that was an accident. To me, it looked like he just pushed him out of the way. There was issues between them earlier in the race, but here and there, I guess, on those two, he pushed him out of the way. There's